Turn back to the very last book of your Bible. And of course, this is the book of Revelation. We're not going to finish chapter 9 today, but we will get most of the sixth trumpet of that tribulational judgment covered today. And I'm going to say that I warn you, so don't fuss at me, but from chapter about 6 to chapter 18-ish, somewhere in there, it's going to be nothing but judgment. It's called the Great Tribulation. That's why most people, when they focus on the book of Revelation, they focus on the first 3 chapters and the last 3 chapters. Nobody likes the middle because there's so much judgment. Now, what's going to happen, though, once we get done with chapter 9, we're going to take a long pause between the trumpets and the bowls, and there's going to be a lot of interesting things in there. That is where you'll find description of the Antichrist and false prophet and two witnesses. So we've got a lot of stuff to cover once we get through chapter 9. So it won't all be judgment at that point, but it still fits in that context of the judgment. So as we turn to chapter 9 again today, I'm going to wear you out with these purposes of the book because I want to make sure you keep in mind why it's in your Bible. So we know, number one, first century persecution was through the roof. I don't know if we'll ever see persecution in our country like they saw in the first couple of centuries of the church. It may happen. But if it does happen, the book of Revelation was written primarily for that context to encourage believers during times of just intense, unbelievable persecution. And then secondly, when you go through the book, you find encouragement that God assures us of victory, that He is in control of all events, whether they be events of the past, current events, or events in the future. And that is going to come out loud and clear in this book. Now, where we left off last week begins at verse 13. And I want to go ahead and read from verse 13. I'll probably go through verse 21. My plan today is to get through verse 19 and leave the last two verses for next week because there's so much in those two verses and there's really a lot of sad application in those verses as well. So let's kind of get a little bit of a running start here. And let me give you the context again. Chapter 9, we are in the middle portion of the book. Time of indescribable judgment on the earth. We call this the Great Tribulation. There's a series of seals that are broken on a scroll. There's also a series of trumpets that are blasted in this tribulational time. And then there'll be some bowls of wrath poured out. And that's when it really gets bad. I'm telling you, whatever you think about what we've been through so far, this is still nothing compared to what's going to happen with the bowls of wrath at the very end of the tribulation. And so what we've done so far with the trumpets, I'm going to put this back up here, kind of keep us on the right page and the context. When the trumpets are blasted, they are going to represent, the first four represent God's judgment on the earth, on creation. And so in those, and what you see on the screen, there's going to be very obvious impact on the vegetation of the earth, the plants of the earth, the trees of the earth, and one third are burned up. And there's so much there from the world of basically chemistry and some physics that really is going to affect this world in a great, great way when you lose that much vegetation on the earth. Second impact of the trumpet is going to be on the sea. And one third of the sea becoming blood, one third the creatures dying, one third of the ships on the sea being destroyed. And again, it is going to be cataclysmic regarding our economy and needs for survival. The third trumpet sounds and affects sources of fresh water. And that's when it becomes more personal, because last time I checked, you've got to have water to survive, right? Fresh water. And so your rivers and springs, a third of those are being affected, and people die because of bitterness and basically poisoning sources of fresh water. The fourth, angel sounds, and back in chapter 8, around verse 12, and there you're going to have a darkening of the skies with the sun and the moon and stars. And again, just the world, I keep going here as I've been reading about chemistry this year and from a Christian perspective. And it's really difficult to understand the effect on this earth when you have that kind of darkness with our temperature and what's needed for survival and vegetation. And it's just really going to be a lot more to it than you realize with that sun, moon, and stars. But then when you turn to trumpet number 5, the focus turns and moves from the earth now to more the people on the earth. And this is when it becomes a lot more personal. So number 5 in chapter 9, the first part, we looked at a bottomless pit or an abyss. And out of that bottomless pit, there are these demon locusts that are released. And they are coming straight out of hell. Bible says that they have the effect of a scorpion with the sting to cause torment for 5 months. But what's important for us in that, before we look more at the sixth trumpet, is while they torment for 5 months, they do not kill. Everything's going to change with trumpet 6. Because in trumpet 6, there's going to be a severe slaughtering of mankind on the earth. So the locusts seem to wake, or kind of serving to wake people up, realize just how serious this is. And then when we turn to number 6 with the 6 angels blast of the trumpet, I'm pulling out a key term. There's probably a better way to list these. I'm trying to pull out a key term. What's going to happen in number 6 is a 200 million person army. There's going to be a global conflict of some sort. Probably an invasion from the east. And when that happens, 1/3 of the population on the earth at that time are going to die. And we started looking at that last week. So now let's read verse 13 in that context, and we'll pick up where we left off. The sixth angel sounded. John, in this vision time, says he heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. And we looked at that, what that meant last week, as best we can tell. And the voice he heard was saying to the sixth angel, okay, number 6, which had the trumpet. Here's what the voice said. What you're going to do when you blow the trumpet is you are going to loose or release the four angels, which are bound at the great river Euphrates. Now, we said last week that more than likely these are evil angels, some kind of demonic being, because nowhere in the Bible is a good angel ever bound. So probably some evil angel set apart for this purpose. And when he references the Euphrates River, I showed you a map last week, but you've got a very long winding river running across the face of the Middle East. And I showed you last week with Turkey and Syria and Iraq, it just runs right through those countries. And the Bible says on the other side, kind of like the eastern side of that river in that land, there's four angels. Now, I don't know. I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if this is true right now. I feel like it may be. But I feel like those four angels are there in place right now. I mean, to me, that was part of their being confined to places of darkness. And a day is going to come when they're going to be summoned to be released. That's what it seems like to me. So right now, listen, we forget sometimes of spiritual warfare going on when you read about things in the Middle East. But you just don't know at times the demons that are involved in God's plan, His sovereign plan, and the way He is unfolding and preparing things for these latter chapters of the book of Revelation. So it sounds like to me right now there's four angels bound there, wicked angels. And the Bible says that when the sixth angel blows a trumpet, these four angels there will be released. Now, twice in the book of Revelation, you're going to find Euphrates River plays a significant part. First of all, here with a 200 million person army, and then later in chapter 16, you're going to read that the river is actually going to be dried up so that armies can cross for invasion from the east. And we'll get to that in about 20 years in chapter 16. It won't be that long, probably 2 or 3. But the point is, there's going to be four angels loose, and they are bound there at the great river Euphrates. Now, the Bible says in verse 15 about those angels that they were released, and here is the description. They were prepared for that particular hour, that particular day, that particular month, and that particular year. Now, I told you last week, with God, timing is more important than time. Okay, we think about time. And, I don't know. Y'all ever do this? I don't remember now why this came up. This has nothing to do with the sermon, so just forgive me for a minute. But I don't know if I was somewhere and a person mentioned retirement. Uh-oh, Liz just laughed. A person mentioned retirement, and I don't know why. In fact, this morning, somebody in our class, Jason, I think, looked at John Clift about Marcus and said, I'm jealous. Like a retirement thing. Although they also said he probably might want to go back to work so he don't stay so busy. But somebody recently brought up retirement, and I got to thinking, have you thought about your life? Take your age right now. Oh, it was a questionnaire I did. And that's right, it was a questionnaire for retirement. And it said, at what age do you like reasonably expect to retire? Now, that's kind of different in ministry because you really don't ever retire per se. But it got me thinking, for real. Like, think about your age right now, where you are. And then think about reasonably how many more years you have before you're like kind of retired. And for some of y'all, it's a scary thought. For some of y'all, it's a discouraging thought. And for some of y'all, it's like, whew, let's just jump ahead and do it right now. So I don't know why that came to mind. I really don't even know why that just came to mind just now. But, oh yeah, because with God, timing is more important than time. Okay, and we think about time and we can calculate years until retirement and things like that. But listen, from God's perspective, very specific moment. Okay, four angels bound, and when the time is exactly right, the trumpet will blast and they will be released. Now, here's a really sad part of this. Their task in verse 15, and this is another reason I'm pretty certain these are going to be evil angels. Their task and only reason to be released is to slay, to slaughter a third of mankind. Now remember, at this point in the tribulation, seal number four, we lost 25% of the population. Now in trumpet number six, when you take 33% more, what that means is by this point in the tribulation, 50% of the people who were alive a few years prior are no longer alive after this trumpet blast. So 336 million people in our country, and by the time you get to trumpet number six and this conflict, only 168 million are still alive. 50% dead. The only reason these four angels are released is a slaughter, 33% more of the population. That is not a good thought. And now we pick up in verse 16. John says in this verse that after he heard about the release and the third of mankind being slaughtered, in addition to the other 25%, he says the number of the army of the horsemen was 200,000, or you could retranslate, interpret, 200 million. Now, one thing we learn about this is whatever this global conflict is, John, in this vision, sees it as mounted troops. Now, the question becomes, and we're going to touch on this again in just a minute. The question becomes, are these literal people on these horses with this battle, or are they angelic beings? John never tells us, and we really don't know, but there's 200 million troops of some sort riding on the backs of horses for this global conflict. Now, how many were there? John gives us the answer, and he says, 200 million. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when you consider the population of the earth today, and what it may be by the time we get here, it looks like to me this is going to have to be some significant global conflict. You've heard of World War I, World War II. If we do not have World War III before this time, this is going to have to be the biggest of all. World War III, or whatever you want to call it at that point. So a global conflict. 200 million. Now a lot of people read that verse and they see that number of 200 million. They wonder, how in the world can you picture that? John had no way of knowing how many there were. And so he says, I was told the number. Have you been? Sometimes you go to an event and you see like just a mass of people. And have you ever wondered, I just wonder how many people are here. This past Wednesday in Richmond around the Capitol, there was a Virginia March for Life. And so I read articles about it in the paper. And you always want to know, like, just how many people showed up. And so the security there, because they're used to large gatherings, they're estimating somewhere between 3,000 and 3,500 people who gathered there in Richmond and marched around the city and were praying and standing for life of the unborn, life of the preborn. There's really no way of knowing the exact number, right? Unless somebody tells you that. So John sees in this vision just this mass of mounted troops. And he's like, I couldn't even begin to estimate the number, but the voice told me 200 million. Now here's a question. And a lot of people ask this question about this verse. Is that number, can that number be possible? There's no such thing as a nation that we know of, even to this day, who has had an army of 200 million. Armed forces, 200 million. In fact, if you think about this, and I shared some of this Wednesday night as we were closing the service, if you think about this, there were not even 200 million people on the earth in John's day. And yet John says, I was told that when this conflict takes place, 200 million who will just be soldiers, just be fighters. So the question becomes, and is that feasible? Here's what, here's what happens. You start thinking about population today. So in John's day, about the year 90, 95, and where we are today, that's about 1930 years or so, something like that, since John's death. Okay, look at how the population of this earth has increased. While in John's day, there were not even 200 million people on the earth, today, we have two nations, over a billion people, China and India. And I shared this Wednesday night, just we were kind of jumping into some, but if you just think about this, there are about 8 billion people on this earth right now, generally. And just in the southern Asian nations around China and India, you've got over half the earth's population. Now, guess where they are in relation to the Euphrates River? East of it. And John says, when I saw the army, the mounted troops, 200 million were in that army. And so while in John's day it would have not seemed likely, reasonable, to have that size of an army, even today we could picture this and see how much more reasonable it is when you've got two countries of a billion people there, where you could see 200 million that could be involved in some kind of global conflict. And I really think as we get more and further along, it seems like the population continues to increase of our nation or of our world. So it's not far-fetched to understand 200 million mounted troops that John sees in verse 16. So 200 million. Let me throw this out there one more time. Are these literal people, men, on the horses that he sees? Well, it doesn't say that. And some think this is an army of demons out of hell. They're like, just like there was a release of demons with the locusts that arose from the bottomless pit and they're going to torment. Some believe that this is wave after wave of demons straight from hell that John sees on these horses. Now, it could be that way. But I'm telling you, for me, I want to interpret as literally as I can because that's what John saw. If it turns out being something different, that's fine. But John says they were mounted troops, 200 million. Now, remember, four angels bound at the Euphrates River. They blow the trumpet, and when they do so, the only purpose is for 33% more of the earth, the population, to be slaughtered. And it's going to happen with a 200 million person army with a global conflict. Now, here would be the next interesting question and logical question in verse 17. John, would you please tell us what this looked like? And here's what John says he saw. In a vivid, kind of a vivid description, just like with the locusts and the demons. He says, this is how I saw the 200 million on the horses. Verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. This is the way I saw the horses. And then that sat on those horses, which seems to be people he saw on the horses. He says that they had breastplates of fire. Okay, what's a color of fire? Kind of a reddish orange. So he's seeing breastplates of a color, kind of a reddish color. The breastplates also had the color of jacinth. Some Bible translations there use the word hyacinth. The word there most likely is kind of a blue-violet type of color. So we've got some color of fire red. We've got some bluish color. And he says a third color I saw on the breastplates was brimstone, which is more than likely some kind of a yellow color. Now, I don't know if there is significance in these colors, but what they do seem to do is run parallel to the three plagues that are going to do the killing of all the people. So then we read the end of that verse. The heads of the horses, okay, you know, he's giving us a description of what he saw. He says the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Now, it doesn't mean that they were the heads of lions. Notice a simile here. Remember, everything John sees, he's like, look, I'm trying to give you, based on what you're familiar with today, I'm trying to tell you what it was like. Remember English grammar? Like and as are similes. They're not metaphors. It's not that it was this, but it was like this. So John looks at the horses, and so I'm telling you, when I notice the heads on the horses, it reminded me of the heads on lions. Now, is it because of the size, the mane? It doesn't really say, but he says that's what it looked like to me and what it reminded me of. So the heads of the horses were like as the heads of lions. And then he says, and this is really odd, I noticed in the vision that from the mouths of these horses, out of those mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now, again, it looks like the three colors. Red, the color of fire. I don't know the jacinth color and the bluish type tone with the smoke seems to go together. And the yellow with the brimstone color seems to go together. That's what John saw. Now, here's all I'm going to say about that. And I think you'll agree with me from verse 17. And I'm just going to say it this way. These ain't normal horses. Right? Remember, this is apocalyptic literature. They use a lot of symbolism there, but these ain't normal horses. In fact, many people would say that when you read from verses 17 through verse 19, in some way or fashion, these are weapons of hell itself. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know if when this takes place, we're going to, well, I say we, the people on this earth that are lost, they're going to literally see these shapes and see this kind of fire and smoke. I don't know how that's going to all play out. But John, in his vision, he said, this is what I saw. However God plays this out later, this is what I saw. And then he says in verse 18, he comes back to the slaughter of the lost people on the earth, those who turn away from God. He says, by these three, okay, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, by these three was that third part of mankind killed. It was by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, as he reads in verse 13. And he says that these were those that issued out of the mouths of the horses. Now, bottom line, this horde of 200 million is going to basically bring a violent death to masses of humanity. It makes you wonder, when you see the three means of the death, some will die as a result of initial fire. Okay, is this going to be bombing? In our day and time, we're all scared to death of nuclear warfare. Is it going to be something like that? It could be. John doesn't say. But there's going to be a lot of people dying from initial fire. There's going to also be, according to the word smoke, it looks like contamination from that battlefield with the smoke that could lead to a lot of death. And it looks like there's going to be lingering fires with the brimstone. And the point is, by the time you get through this, these plagues will be responsible for the largest death toll in the history of mankind. This is trumpet number 6. That's what John sees in verse 18. Then he adds one more interesting thing in verse 19, describing more what he saw with the horses. He says about these horses that the power, their power is in their mouth and in their tails. Okay, remember now, in the mouth he said already that you've got fire, smoke, and brimstone. So on one end of these weapons of hell, whatever they are, we've got fire, smoke, brimstone, sulfur. Then he says that just like a horse, they had a tail, but again, it wasn't a normal horse. Their tails were like, now notice the word like, okay, remember, that's the simile. It's not that they were snakes, but he says they were like that. The way the tails move, because what he noticed is on the tails of the horses, They had heads, and with those heads, back end of the horses, he says, they do harm, they do hurt, they cause hurt, they cause harm. Now, the only thing I'll say about verse 19, just so you're aware, remember with the locusts and earlier in chapter 9 that some people like to equate these locust objects as like helicopters in battle? We talked about that a little bit, and I don't see that in the text. I think it's reading into the text. Well, what people do in verse 19, they like to, again, play games here, and they argue and sometimes try to identify these horses and these weapons as military tanks. Okay? Because you can blast fire out of the front side, turn the bad boy around, blast fire out the back, machine guns. I mean, that's what a lot of people do. I don't think it's right to read into the text what is not there. That does not mean that at this point, God may use weaponry, automatic weaponry. Some people read into this a lot of different stuff with bombers and tanks and helicopters and missiles and rockets, and it could be, but that's not what John saw. So I want to be faithful to the text and to say, what did John see, and recognize that we today do have, in a military arsenal, we have plenty that could bring this to pass. But John doesn't see it that way. So just know that if you're reading through commentaries and you're reading through what people write, some folks kind of go beyond here and identify this with modern warfare. And I'll tell you something else. You may try to identify this with modern warfare, but I'm going to tell you what. If we still got a long time between where we are today in chapter 9 of Revelation, I think the warfare is going to be a lot different. And I'll tell you, every generation has tried to identify what they read in these verses with their current state of affairs, with their weaponry. So just be careful with that. It doesn't mean there's not going to be involved bombs and missiles. I don't know. But that's not what John saw. He says it was like horses, and it's almost like they had on the back end there like the heads of serpents, and on the front end they're blasting smoke and fire. So I don't know if that's got any connection to modern warfare, but that is exactly what John saw. That's trumpet number 6. Now, what I want to do before we get done today, I'm just going to introduce next Sunday's sermon since I got about 5 minutes. Verses 20 and 21 are set apart from the text just a bit. And here's what John does. John says, I have described for you the devastation. I have described for you the loss of life. I have described for you what probably are large chunks of rock, we call those asteroids today, that are striking the earth and causing all kinds of upheaval. I've described for you contamination of fresh water where people are dying. I've described for you what could be modern warfare in our context. I've described a lot of stuff. But here's what John does now as he finishes chapter 9. He says, let me tell you what the people thought about it. We're going to introduce this today. Next Sunday, the entire time, we're going to focus on these two verses. Verse 20 of chapter 9 has been viewed as and called the most astounding verse in the whole book of Revelation. It blows the mind when you read of the response of the people on this earth. So here's what he says. The rest of the men or people which were not killed by these plagues. Now remember, 50% of the population has been destroyed, has lost their lives. But there's still 50% who survived this. And John says, in this vision he received, the rest of those which were not killed by these plagues. Now watch this. Yet they repented not. Now what does that tell you about the judgments of the tribulation? It tells you that the reason God sent the judgment of the tribulation was for a redemptive purpose. You see, sometimes you read in this book about all this loss of life and destruction, And you think, go get them, God. You show them how big and bad you are. You send the punishment on them wicked people. That ain't why God sent it. See, the Bible says here, the purpose of the judgment was for people to repent. It was not for people to continue going the way they were going. And it's shocking in verse 20 when he says, and even after all these people saw, they didn't repent. God's purpose in the judgment was for redemption, to wake people up. And then just carry on and say, we don't care. And I guarantee you this. When these plagues strike this earth, I guarantee you, every expert's going to be on TV. Every scientist is going to be on TV. And they're going to offer explanation from a humanistic standpoint of why this has nothing to do with an almighty God. And people are going to buy it. And John says, it is shocking to me. The rest of those who were not killed by all these plagues, yet they repented not. What did they not repent of, John? They did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood. These are things that cannot see nor hear nor walk. They're completely opposite of God. And then he goes back in verse 21 and says, in case you didn't get it, neither repented they. They did not repent, did not change their course from their murders, their sorceries, their fornication, nor of their thefts. And John states this in complete, utter disbelief. He cannot believe it. Certainly, after terrible slaughter, after the insects we've read about in chapter 9, plagues, earthquakes, you realize even at this point, it will not break the heathen. It will not wake them up. Now, don't forget, now here's why I think it won't. Don't you remember I told you earlier in the book of Revelation, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now watch this. During the time of the tribulation, the Bible says God is going to send a strong delusion upon the people. Now watch. If you choose to disregard God and say, I don't want you, I don't care for you, get out of my life and leave me alone. At some point, He's gentleman enough to do exactly that. And so the Bible says, if that's what y'all want, I'm going to turn you over. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we saw the verse earlier in the book, the Bible says when the great tribulation comes and Antichrist is on the stage, which we ain't got to yet, we're going to get there in chapter 13. When the Antichrist is on the stage, the people are going to buy the lie. But it says, God sends that strong delusion. And so then you look at this and say, well, now I can understand why. It's almost like they've been settled and sealed in a state of rebellion. And John says, they would not repent. Now, I'm going to pick up with that next week. And here's why. There is so much in verse 20 and 21 that applies to us today. With what John says they would not repent of. And it's scary. It is scary to see where we are today. And some of the same things that we find in our society today that we're blinking the eye at. Nobody stands anymore for what's right and wrong. The same things you see happening today, you're going to see in the tribulation. It shocked him that they did not repent. So you hang on to that thought. We're going to pick up in verse 20. We're going to finish chapter 9 next week as a plan. And then once we get through chapter 9, there's going to be a pause between the sixth trumpet and the seventh. And we're going to see some other ingredients of in tribulational time. So let's close with that and let's go ahead and let's bow as we prepare to close and walk into an invitational time just before we leave today. So here's our weekly opportunity. It may be something on your mind that you need to lift up in prayer today. Leave at the altar today. Maybe that you've got somebody in your mind that needs to be saved and they just don't seem to care anything for God, and you need to pray one more time for their salvation, that their eyes will be open, they come to a place of repentance. or it may be that as you listen, you know in your heart you're not saved, you're not ready to face your Maker. And so today, one more opportunity God has given to you to make things right with Him, to turn to Christ, to trust by faith and believe in His death and what He did on that cross and through the resurrection from the grave, so your sins can be forgiven and you can know God and you can be saved. You can know that whatever happens in this life, that it's just going to be okay because He lives, with that song as we started today. So just a moment for us to think, to lift up prayer. Altar is available as well if you need to come and kneel with the altar for prayer. And then I'll close us and we'll be on our way for this Lord's Day. Father, You've heard our prayers as we get ready to go today. It's not fun reading these verses. It's not fun reading about judgment on the inhabitants of this earth who don't care anything about You or what's right. And yet the Bible makes it so clear that it's going to happen. And it's going to be massive loss of life because of judgment. It's not that You don't care. It's that people won't repent. So may that be a charge to us as we remind ourselves each Sunday as we go through these chapters that we can't force anybody to believe. But we certainly can tactfully and lovingly warn of wrath to come upon those who do not believe. Help us to be faithful with our witness this week. And I pray that You would give each of us a good and safe week with Your blessings upon our homes and our families. And we lift up to You our prayer as we leave today because of what Christ did in delivering us from the wrath of God. And we pray in His name. Amen.